Join me in 1 Peter chapter 5. Hear the inerrant, inspired word of the living God. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with a kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. And I do pray the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word and our understanding as the Holy Spirit brings it to us this morning. Before I dive into this chapter, let me once again bring to mind for us the reason Peter's writing. These are a scattered people. They are a persecuted people. They are a suffering people. They are one that's no longer living in their homes as they would like to. And so they are in need of encouragement. They are in need of assurance. And so throughout all of this letter, yes, Peter has spoken of the sufferings of the person, and tied that directly to the sufferings of Christ. If Christ has suffered, you will also suffer. As we spoke about earlier, Christ suffered the righteous for the unrighteous. He suffered and brought that salvation to us. Now, in our own suffering, we can't bring our salvation. It's a given thing. But in that salvation, we suffer just like our Lord, because we live, as Tim pointed out in his prayer, in a sinful world. And so throughout all of this, Peter has time and time and time again brought the suffering of the people to bear and said, this is Christ-like. And time again, he's brought the things to us to reassure, to encourage us, so that we would not fall into despair. The first persons who heard this letter, you can imagine if you had to leave your home. You imagine if you had to leave your family in diverse places, take up residence in another place that you're unfamiliar with. You would like a friendly word, an encouraging word. And so Peter has done this. And as I close this out, you will see this was a letter taken by Silvanus to all of the different churches. And I imagine he came to the front of the church and read this letter from front to back to encourage the people. All right, now here Peter brings another aspect, another level of encouragement to you as he speaks of the elders. He writes here at the beginning of chapter 5, so I exhort the elders among you as fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock. Elders, let me speak to you for just a moment. Here is a simple command with great depth. Shepherd the flock. In the Greek, in the formulation of the language, this is a very endearing term. I think of it as Jesus and Peter were talking in the last chapter of the book of John. When they're sitting there beside the sea, and Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Of course I do. Feed my sheep." He asks him again, "Do you love me?" He said, "Yes, of course I do." He then says, "Feed the lamb, tend my sheep." Then he asks him a third time, "Do you love me, Peter?" "Yes, feed my sheep." Three times he asked for the love. But more than that, what did he tell Peter to do? Shepherd the flock. It is a very loving, endearing, nurturing capacity. When we look at this in its agricultural context, the shepherd is one who is a protector, a provider, a nourisher, also one who disciplines. There's great compassion and love for the flock, for the sheep. They don't know. They don't know where to go. They have to be led. The sheep understand the shepherd's voice, and so they follow. Here's a very nurturing, loving, endearing term that we elders are given to shepherd the flock. And then he goes on to say that we are to be examples. Folks, I have to tell you, this puts a great burden on us to be examples. I'm a sinner just like you. David Size, David Brady, Derek, Tim, every one of us who has that elder mantle, we're all sinners. But yet we're called to shepherd the flock, to lead the people. And we do it on behalf of Jesus Christ. And so we are to be examples. Now, Peter also says here, and I think this is incredibly important, because sadly, lately I've had too much experience with elders who did not do this. Peter says, "Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not as a shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples." We are called to be elders, and it should be the calling from the very core of your heart. When I went through presbytery to become a pastor, one of the foremost jobs of the presbytery and the checks and balances that we go through, the men who sit on the minister and his works committee, candidates, exams, etc., I am to reveal in my heart, from my heart, the call I have received. And those men, through questions and watching, are to validate and verify that call. If they do not hear examples, if they do not hear testimony, if they do not hear the words that reveals the very heart of my heart, they won't let me be a pastor. Because this year, I don't do it for the money. I don't do it for the acknowledgement. I do it, we do it, willingly. This is one of the reasons why when you come to ask me, "Pastor Tim, how should I serve in the church? Pastor Tim, where should I serve in the church?" That is not mine to tell. Because then, if I told you, Linda, where to serve, then it would be under compulsion of Pastor Tim saying so. I want to see your heart. I want to know where your heart is. Because where your heart is where you will serve, just as you are, Linda. And just as many of you are. This is also an encouragement for all of us as we go and ask others to serve. Just ask the simple question, "Would you serve in this capacity?" If they say no, thank you very much. No manipulating. No, "Well, we need four and we've only got three." Please don't ask that way. It should be our heart. Because how will a person shepherd another one if it's not in my heart? Elders, this is a tall order. But there is a reward. We go to verse 4. Peter writes, "And when the chief shepherd comes, you will receive that unfading crown of glory." The elders will have a bit of a prominence as a representation of Jesus Christ. They will receive that reward. But as the book of Revelation teaches us, as soon as we're given that crown, we take it off and lay it at the base of the throne in worship of God. So elders, I pray that you serve and lead so that you might receive that crown of glory. Now, here Peter changes and does a transition. He says, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. We who are younger should be subject to our elders. Now, I think this is a more encompassing term than just an age factor. Because many of our elders have a bit of a younger age than the numerical fashion of us older. But given that throne or that place of being an elder, we are to submit to them. And you did this when we ordained and installed the elders. I ask you the question, would you submit to these? And you said yes. See, that's part of the comfort and the assurance that Peter has given us. Here is a group of individuals who are sent out to be a part of the church to protect you, to guide you, to lead you, to pray for and with you. And so that would be that level of encouragement and assurance. There are those of you who have said to me, Pastor Tim, it makes me feel safer that I know that you're right there. Now, it's not Tim, but it's the shepherd. Just to know that you're right there. If something happens, if I need, you're right there. I hope we feel that way about all of those who are elders in this church. I feel safer knowing that David Sides is right up the road. I feel safer knowing that the elders are praying for me, etc. And as we walk through this passage, now Peter changes, and he's not speaking only to the elders, but now he moves out and says, all of you, clothe yourselves in humility. Why is humility such a challenging thing? Why is it so hard to subject ourselves to the authority of another? It's just not a part of our character. It's not a part of our character. So Peter encourages, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. As I was going through this, I couldn't help but to think of last Sunday during the prayer time. Has been made reference to here today, when those of you who came forward and the elders, we prayed for you. See, this is another aspect of that assurance and encouragement that we need. We're not suffering the persecutions of this first century church, but because of the sinfulness of our lives, we are suffering. And so here Peter is saying, God cares for you. And as that elder stands here and prays for you, that is his representative to you. You should feel safer. You should feel encouraged. You should feel loved. By the man personally, yes. But by God himself. Because it is God who created this design for his church, that he would have elders here to care for you, and to provide for you, and to provide prayer and safe haven for you when needed. He goes on to say, resist him, stand firm in your faith, because the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. When is the devil the strongest in our lives? When is Satan's influence strongest in our lives? Thank you. When we're weak, when we're tired, when we're depressed, when we're ill, He waits for a weakness. I would commend to you C.S. Lewis's writings, The Screwtape Letters. A wonderful story. But in that story, Satan is teaching the minions when to attack the client. And you're the client. And many times the attack is when you're at your weakest. These who read this letter first, they are at their weakest in persecution. As you are facing cancer, as you are facing treatments, as you are facing the challenges of sick loved ones, that's when Satan wants that foothold to bring in the despair, to bring in the weakness. And as we talked about last week, God allows those to come, and it is to test our faith, but it's also to strengthen our faith. Peter here says, resist him, stand firm in the faith. Again, I encourage you, do not forget who you are and do not forget whose you are. And just simply give Satan the words, be gone. But we must stand firm in those times. Now, as my voice is leaving and I'm drawing this to a close, I direct your attention to verse 10. Because this is a promise to every person in the room. This is a promise to every person in the room. And this is where I got the title for the sermon. And after you have suffered a little while, it will be difficult to call suffering a little while when you've been at it for 15 years. It would be tough to call suffering for a little while like my dad, who's been doing it for over 40. But think of the eternal implications here. Suffering a little while now has no measure in eternity. This time will pass and be gone in a blink of an eye. So here Peter is pointing us to the eternal promise. After you have suffered a little while here, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So, wherever you find yourself, is there hope? Absolutely. Is there a promise of better? Absolutely. Is it promised in this life? If it be God's will, possibly. But for sure, in that which is yet to come. So yes, here now we will suffer because it is Christ's light. But here's the promise to every one of us. God himself will restore you. God himself will confirm you to be his child. God himself will strengthen you in this age and in the age to come. And he will establish you. That crown of glory, that well done, good and faithful servant that we're all looking forward to hearing, that will establish you in his kingdom for all time. I told someone last week, I think it was Linda, you know, if Jesus Christ took the cross for me, I can go through this. I can do this. You can do this. Because of this wonderful promise that's here for us all. Peter closes out this first letter. It says, by Silvanus, a faithful brother. We believe Silvanus helped him write this, but we believe also that Silvanus was the one who hand-carried this letter and read it to all of the churches. He says, also, Mark, my son, sends you greetings. Mark followed Peter around. Hence, we have the book of Mark, which were Peter's sermons. And he says, also, she who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings. This is a code word for the city of Rome. Peter was in Rome when he wrote this letter. And so that he wouldn't be overly chastised for his writings. He wrote it in code, which much of the book of Revelation is as well. Again, encouraging. Here's another church praying for you. Here's another church, another group of people praying for you. The God who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Never, ever, ever, ever forget. Never forget. Never forget. Let's pray together. Father, I apologize for the weakness in the sermon. But as sin has taken its effect on the voice, one day it'll all be redeemed and we will sing beautifully and speak in perfect tone. Oh, what a day that will be. Father, as we have said many times, there are many in this room who are suffering and hurting. Family issues, health issues, life issues. Father, let us never forget that you will restore us, you will confirm us, you will strengthen us, and you will establish us, even as you are doing such now in this life. But the glory is yet to come. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen.